We're continuing today, Emir Tzashem and Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav. And the Mishnah says as follows, Yehoshua ben Parachyo, Anita ha'arbeli, kiblu mehem. Yehoshua ben Parachyo, Anita ha'arbeli, received the following idea from, or the following ideas from their teachers. Yehoshua ben Parachyo, Omer, Yehoshua ben Parachyo says, Asi lucha rav, make for yourself a teacher, or a rav, uknei lucha chaver, acquire for yourself a friend, v'havidanes kala adam l'kafsechos, and literally judge every person favorably. So the Rabbeinu Yonah comments on this, and he says very beautifully, what does it mean when it says, Asei lucha rav? So the Rabbeinu Yonah writes, what does it mean to make for yourself a teacher? Shafila atayodea kimoso, Asei oso rav alecha. He says something amazing. What happens if you're the smartest guy? Right? Many people have this problem. Right? You're the smartest guy, and you know more, or you know as much as your supposed Rebbe. The Rabbeinu Yonah writes, still appoint him as a Rebbe. Mipnei she'adam zocher mashalaman meirabo, yostrei mashadam lomid miatzmo. This is very interesting. He says, a person learns more from others than he's able to learn by himself. So therefore, again, even if you know as much as your Rebbe, the ability to learn something from someone else ultimately, again, is a more impactful experience. Furthermore, va'od, kipamim yavin adavar yosir mimenu v'nim simalamdo. Sometimes, even if you possess as much knowledge, someone could understand something a little bit better or in a sharper way than you can. V'nim simalamdo, you can learn from that person. Ba'afilu im shneim shavin b'chachma. So a really interesting idea. See, even if the Rebbe isn't necessarily smarter than you, or even if the Rebbe doesn't necessarily have more knowledge than you, first of all, number one, there's a power to learning from other people that apparently has a greater chance of retention. And number two, sometimes even if you possess the same amount of knowledge as someone, someone may understand it in a clearer or sharper way and be able to give it back to you or to give it over to you with that clarity and that sharpness. Of course, also on a basic level, the power of Asei lucha rav, of having a Rebbe, is having someone outside of you to be able to give you critical life feedback. The Rabbeinu doesn't quote this, but I think it's understood that often it's not a function of knowledge, but it's a function of, I can't see a lot of things about me because I'm living in me. But someone who is outside of me has the ability to see things in a much more objective way about me. And therefore, having that kind of person who could give me critical feedback, you know, knowing that I'm secure in that relationship and I feel a love towards this person is an indispensable necessity for meaningful living. Next, ukenei l'chachaver, acquire for yourself a friend. So this is very interesting. So the Rabbeinu Yonah writes that the person needs to have a friend for three different reasons. He says, Echad, the Divrei Torah. Number one is for learning. Chavrusa, having someone who you can learn with is an absolute necessity for one's spiritual and Torah development. Number two, he says something amazing, L'mitzvos. L'mitzvos. What does this mean? He says, Sha'af kishain achaveru chasin mimenu, upam shigamu osa asher lokedas, kishunena bedavra havera, aval in chavtsurotsono shechaveri yasena, kain lohana baze. He says, in kain, nimtse kiyochiach chavira min haaveros, bechaveri shalom palo. When you have a friend prevents you from sinning. A good friend is someone who, when you're about to make a critical mistake, ultimately tells you, big mistake. Big mistake. So the power of having a friend is the power of having someone in my life who, when he sees that I'm about to do something terrible, says, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Power of a friend. Of course, interesting, and the shlishi, the third reason why a person needs a friend that Rabbeinu Yonah writes, is le'inyan ha'etza. Ultimately, again, to be able to seek out counsel from someone. Right, a really incredible idea, namely that everyone needs someone to talk to, and everyone needs someone to run things by. So that's the power of a friend. So in essence, Rabbeinu Yonah says, the power of a friend is threefold. Number one, to learn Torah. Ein adome, one cannot compare learning Torah by themselves, learning Torah with a chavrusa, a study partner or a friend. There's a greater level of understanding that comes from it. Number two, v'mitzos, or more specifically, having a good friend. When my friend sees that I'm about to make a big mistake, an avera in life, my friend will jump in and say, no, don't do this. And number three is for counsel, for advice. Everyone needs someone they could talk to, someone they could run ideas by, and someone who, again, if the idea is a bad one, will tell me it's a bad one. The Rabbeinu Yonah then goes on and he says, so why does it say acquire for yourself a friend? Now, remember, an acquisition a kinyan, right? Why does it say that? Why doesn't it just say asei lecha chaver, make a friend, right? Or heye lecha chaver, have a friend. Why acquire? And the Rabbeinu Yonah says something amazing. Shimon lo yimtza ena bechinam. It tells you that if you can't find a friend for free, yikachenu bekaspo, pay for it. So this is really an incredible, incredible idea. According to the Rabbeinu Yonah, ultimately, again, what the Mishnah is trying to really highlight is the need for a friend is so important that even if you have to pay for that friend, right? Even if you have to pay to have that person in your life, it is a worthwhile investment. The truth is, we could globalize the Rabbeinu Yonah a little bit more and say, essentially, what's the concept of kinei of acquire? In order to acquire something, you have to give something of yourself. What the Mishnah is also teaching us, perhaps what Rabbeinu Yonah is driving at over here, is that true friendships require personal investment. You know, today we use the word friend very freely. And I think often we go ahead and we use the word friend and acquaintance interchangeably. Oh, he's my friend. He's not my friend. He's an acquaintance. Oh, I like him. He seems like a nice guy. But a friendship, what's the definition of a friendship? A friendship is a relationship in which you are willing to invest. And that's what Rabbeinu Yonah says when he said, literally, what are you going to do? You're going to buy a friend? No, what he means is that if you really want to have meaningful friendships in life, you have to be ready to invest in them. And investment often means I have to take something that is mine and put it into the relationship. It could be money, but more often than not, it's time, right? It's emotional energy. If you want meaningful friendships in life, you must be willing to devote the necessary time to ultimately create them and then support and nurture them afterwards. The last part of the Mishnah says, "V'havidanes kala adam lekaf sechus," which literally translated means judge every person favorably. So the Rabbeinu Yonah here writes, he says, "Zeh medaber al adam she'in yodim bo im hutzadik ve'im rasha." This is actually very interesting. So what does it mean, judge every person favorably? So remember again, what this means is we're talking about someone where I don't know, is he a tzaddik or is he a rasha? Is he righteous? Is he wicked? I don't know. And therefore what? O makirin oso shu ish benoni. Or maybe he's just like a middle of the roader, a benoni. Pamim osera, pamim osetov. Sometimes he does good, sometimes he does bad. Vimyasa davar sheish dono l'kav chova, v'yesh laduno l'schus b'shikol adas, o hafilu l'fi anira note l'kav chova yoser, im yishod sad v'inyon yachol laduno l'schus, yesh laduno l'tov v'niskavin. It's very interesting. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, essentially, Rabbeinu Yonah says like this, if someone is wicked, you have a right to look at their actions through the lens of their wickedness. If someone is righteous, you have an absolute obligation to go ahead and see everything they do through the lens of their righteousness. If someone is a benoni, let's say someone is in between, which often is like the category I fit into, right? I'm a benoni. I'm not a rasha, chas v'shalom. I'm also not a tzaddik. I'm somewhere hovering in the middle. You know, sometimes depends on what time you catch me during the day. Sometimes I'll be a little bit more righteous, a little bit less righteous. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says, it's dafka to the Beinoni, to the middle of the rotor, that the Mishnah is addressing itself. And what it's saying is like this. If you see someone who you don't know to be a tzaddik or a rasha, so what's the default? Do you see someone, I don't know they're a tzaddik, I don't know if they're a rasha? Okay, so therefore I assume they're a Beinoni, right? A regular guy. When you see a regular guy committing an act, ultimately give him the benefit of the doubt. Give him the benefit of the doubt. Be dan lekaf sechus. Literally, again, give him the benefit of favorable judgment. The righteous person, of course, you're going to give that to him. The wicked person, you don't owe it to him. But the person you don't know, you always have to give him the benefit of the doubt. The truth is, I would build on the Rabbeinu Yonah a little bit and say, in reality, you never really know another person. I think one of the most overwhelming things in human relationships is the idea that no matter how much you love someone or how close you are to someone, you can never really claim to know that you fully know them. Right? Think about this. A person could have a loving marriage. Does a wife fully know her husband? Does a husband fully know his wife? No, because each of us have thoughts and have ideas and maybe even sometimes dreams and aspirations that we don't share with others for whatever the reason. It doesn't be bad reasons. Just, you know, my mind and my heart to a certain degree is my rishus yachid. It's my private domain. And as such, I don't share every single thing. Some things are mine. When you begin to realize that in relationships, so you realize that you could know someone well, but you don't know them in totality. And this is a really incredible idea. And because I don't know someone in totality, therefore, I owe them the benefit of the doubt. You see, the only way to pass judgment on someone is if you have all the facts in general, right? When does a judge pass judgment? When he has all the facts. Everybody presents their information. The judge weighs all the information. Then he comes out with a decision. The reality in life is that when you see another person do something, you almost never have all the facts. There's always something else going on there. And even if you have all of the external behavioral facts, you don't have the internal emotional facts. You don't know what's churning inside that person's heart, what's going on inside of their soul, you know, what's rolling around inside of their mind. You don't know that. So because I don't know that, therefore, by definition, I don't understand the totality of this person. And like Rabbeinu Yonah says, if you don't know the totality of a person, then you always have to give them the benefit of the doubt. You always have to judge them favorably. And so this is a metric. So, you know, the Rabbeinu Yonah frames it as talking about someone who I don't know. But the truth is, it applies to every person I do know, because really, you can't claim to fully know any person. If I don't really know everything that's in your heart, if I don't really know everything that's going on in your life, if I don't really know every single circumstance, I don't know every single thing you fear, I don't know every single accomplishment, I don't know every single failure, I don't know you in totality. And if I don't know you in totality, then I can't claim to understand that I know why you do the things you do, how you do the things you do, or perhaps the actual things that you do. And because I don't have all of that information, just like the judge would be unable to render a verdict if he does not have all the information about the litigants, so too we should abstain from judging one another. Or better stated, we should engage in judging each other with the benefit of the doubt, giving each other the benefit of the doubt, judging each other positively, given that we never fully know what is happening and what is going on with the other. Okay, we'll stop over here for today. Shkoyach, everyone.